Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
You treat me like a kid. Okay, you boss me around and you wouldn't even let me audition for the video announcements. You decide everything.
Grow up, JT.
Respect me, Liberty. Okay, and then maybe we can make a decision together for once.
We did. Last summer, remember? We decided to use the king-size condom? The one that slipped off? I'm pregnant. JT!
Hello, it is time once again for everyone's favorite Degrassi podcast, Narbos and Broomheads, and we ain't fooling tonight. Yes. It is going to be a great show, and well, someone is getting pregnant tonight, and it's not going to be me. Yay!
How do you know?
With me, as always, is a familiar group of pals. Who do we have out there tonight? Let's check out what we've got in Ontario.
Well, I'm checking the old gut here. Like, am I pregnant or am I just fat? I am just fat. Sorry, no bun in this oven. Mm-hmm. But I'll keep you all posted if anything changes. I am Alan. Slip with five eyes or slip, and let's do a baby checkout in way out east.
Yeah, I have a telescope. I'm looking in my belly button, and no baby. Good job, Teddy. That's right, I'm Ted from the east coast of Canada, the beautiful big national place that we call Canada, and I'm from Newfoundland. Hello, my name is Ted. How are you all?
I like the national place we call Canada.
Stuck the landing. Well, I'm the best at intros. Good job.
Do any of us really know for sure that we're not pregnant if we don't take a pregnancy test? I mean, I know there's signs that we're not pregnant, but do we know for sure?
It's true. You can get them at the dollar store, the Dollarama, at the checkout.
I saw somebody once that posted on Twitter about how they were like, how could you trust these? And they showed the dollar store pregnancy tests, and then they got shamed for making fun of poor people by a whole bunch of people on Twitter. So there you go. Those dollar store tests are just as good as the rich people tests, everybody, just so that you know.
Like I should probably mention that my name is Arlo, and I will be hosting tonight, and I am coming to you from Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Oh, yeah.
We forgot to throw it back to you.
That's okay. I should have mentioned it to start out with.
Damn it, I was going to refer to you as secret host, but...
well, I guess let's talk about Fooling. This is Season 5, Episode 4. It's named after a Def Leppard song of the same name, which I am very, very unfamiliar with.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not completely clueless on Def Leppard music, but I can't say that I ever heard this song before today.
Same.
Interesting. Really?
I'm
sorry. I am surprised.
I'm a Hysteria and even a Pyromania era, but not the one where he's jumping off the diving board. What was that, High and Dry?
Well, Foolin' was off of Pyromania.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, well. Well.
You just said that one.
Listening right before Foolin'. I was a very serious kid. I was like, Foolin', not today, mister. And I shut it off.
Is it the same like era as like Photograph?
Yes, it's the same album. It is track side B, track one, right before Rock of Ages.
I know both of those songs. It's not like I'm totally clueless about Def Leppard, but yeah, I don't think I'd ever heard it before today, and I don't think I'd ever seen the video before today. And the video is it's something.
I will say that, like, I don't think that they've chosen a Def Leppard song for any of the episodes yet. Why they would choose Foolin'? Like, it is not the first Def Leppard track that, you know, people would choose if they wanted a Def Leppard song. And again, as usual, what does it have to do with this episode? Who's Foolin'?
I mean, I kind of thought that it had some stuff to do with the episode. Like, first of all, the title is Foolin', and it's all about, you know, JT's always too immature and he's always joking or whatever. But then, like, the actual lyrics of the song are kind of about, like, I like being there for someone else. And, like, I think that is kind of a theme that runs through the episode.
All right. I'm with you. Perfect title.
Good job.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
For once.
My mind changed. By the way, it wouldn't be hard to think of Foolin', because Def Leppard, of course, did then release Hysteria, one of the greatest albums ever, with the greatest side A of all time. So, which did not contain Foolin'. So I could see why that song would be overshadowed by much greater songs. But anyways.
Yeah. Do you know much else about the song, Alan? Because I don't know anything about it, obviously. Or is that... I guess that's pretty much it.
I'm not a Foolin' enthusiast. I largely that I'm aware it exists. It wasn't a huge single on our side of the pond. It only reached number 39 in Canada and number 28 in the U.S. So it is, you know, certainly Def Leppard is on the rise at this point, and but has not yet peaked out. So. But otherwise, it's all right. I mean, I like the Foolin'. Foolin'. Anyways, that's it. That's all I have.
Do, 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 do. And on to the video. Or is this the right podcast?
Uh-huh.
What did you think about the video? Did you see the video? To quote Arlo, that was something.
No, I'm not familiar with the video. I'll have to watch it. But I saw your commentary on it, so I'm going to have to check it out.
It's got everything. It's got someone strapped to a wall. It's got like the backward running film, so it looks like they're jumping out of a hole instead of jumping into a hole, which is very, very new video effects.
You could explain this video Stefan style. It's got everything. Joe Elliott getting electrocuted. Split screens. And so on and so forth. It's skull swords.
It's got a drummer with two arms.
That's right. And he's got his Union Jack shorts.
Uh-huh.
His little gitch.
It's worth a watch. So on to Degrassi. This episode, Canadian air date was October 10th, 2005. U.S. air date was October 21st, 2005. So just a week and a half later. We've got some familiar names here. It was written by Brendan York and Miklos Perlis, which I'm not sure we've heard from yet.
No.
That might be a newer one. And then the director was Stefan Skaini.
We have heard from Mr. Skaini before.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe someone's joined us, though I see that they may be on mute. Hello?
Hello.
Yay.
Someone found Skype let you back in.
Oh, I am so sorry. I just come on the show to screw it up every time. That's my new role on this podcast.
I'm just wondering who you pissed off at Microsoft, right? Or wait, do they own Skype? Yeah, they do, don't they?
Yeah. It's a long story, but I forgot I had to change my password because my kid's friend broke in. It's a long story. Anyways, very sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm you can't start a story with my kid's friend broke in and then be like, oh, long story. Never mind.
It's long, but it ended up with a fist fight at school, which was great.
Your Skype ended up with kids fighting at school?
Yeah, so I share my Microsoft account with Jack, who has it on his Xbox, and his friend like broke into or stole, I don't know what he did, but he used his account and like started like harassing people on Xbox games and got Jack suspended from Xbox, and then they fought at school at lunchtime.
I was hoping it was you. I was hoping that that like kids who Jack gamed with were messaging you, and then you were like, come find me and fight me at school, bitch.
That would have been a way better story.
Yeah. Yeah. And then your son had to fight your battles, but yeah. It's still a pretty good story. Nice.
Yeah. It does kind of sound like a JT and Toby hijinks.
Yeah.
Like early Degrassi Next Generation plot.
It's so true.
Anyways, who are you, Fight Master Deluxe?
Fight Master, that's who I am. It's me, Fight Master D. No, I'm Courtney. I'm here. Hurrah. Sorry once again for screwing everything up. But yeah, coming here from O-Town.
I'm assuming you have power then.
Yes, I wish I should. I should have said I didn't have power, and that's why I was late.
You know,
I have power.
For our listeners who are not in the know, the Ottawa region had a bunch of very, very severe thunderstorms this week, and there's many parts of that area that have no power.
Yeah, it was a little fucked up.
It was insane. I watched the storm out my front window, and I was like, yeah, it's pretty bad, but I don't think it's as bad as everybody thought. And then I walked down my street afterwards, and there was like, three trees, huge trees, completely knocked over.
Well, like across Ontario, like, you know, southern Ontario up to Ottawa, like 10 people died. Like, yeah. I haven't heard of a storm like that in forever.
Yeah.
Trees were, and that. Like, I think most of them were like trees fell on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody, trees fell on them.
It's fucked up.
Yeah, 10 people.
It's like, it's a tree, just move. Just kidding.
Well, you joined us just in time, Courtney, because we haven't quite jumped into the episode yet.
Phew.
Are we all excited?
Yeah.
Yay.
Hey, I will say this. Great. Like,
me too.
There's, you know, there are things, obviously, with the next few episodes, but I do feel like these are better than how we started the season. Maybe, maybe other people disagree, but...
I kind of feel like whether you really care about Liberty and JT or not, I feel like everybody did a very good job in this episode.
Yeah.
But let's jump in. We open on JT and Liberty in JT's car, and JT is teaching Liberty to drive, apparently just on the streets of Toronto, with no learner's permit, not in a parking lot or anything, but whatever. And we get a little hard rock interlude.
Oh, can I? Pedal. Oh, this is an old school favorite of me and Jamie. And my friend Kid Tetris, Pedal to the Metal by Kazzer.
Oh, yes. I remember this song.
I do not remember the song from a bygone era.
It's a bad song. You know, like, don't get me wrong. I don't like it because it's, you know, amazing and, like, genius. It is bad, but it is one that I think is so bad it's good.
What's the band name?
Kazzer, K-A-Z-Z-Z-Z-E-R.
Kazzer.
Other notable music? Like
Pedal to the Metal is the only song by them that I know. But I was amazed that they used this. And, like, I haven't seen this episode in a long time. So as soon as it started playing, like, my ears perked up like a dog. Like, whoa. Yeah. Yeah, it's on Spotify and all that shit. So go check it out. And it's bad, but, you know, if you like Limp Bizkit and shit like that, you'll probably like this.
So after the driving lesson, JT wants to celebrate with some sexy times, but Liberty isn't interested, and she has to judge video announcement auditions in 15 minutes.
I just like
nothing
how...
like driver's ed to get you horned up.
I just like how he, you know, he unfurls the long, like, string of condoms. And it's just like, you know you don't need all of them, right? Like, you just need one. Hell, try to avoid them. Just kidding. But,
yeah, you're not a sailor.
Yeah, but, like, you don't have to unfurl, like, 200 condoms and be like, we're going to fuck so much. Like, okay.
I get all these on.
Right. I noticed, so in the driving lesson, Liberty referred to having her beginners, and I'm pretty sure that's a Canadian thing or even an Ontario thing. Like, the States call it a learner's permit, right?
We, in Manitoba, I think we use both terms. In Ontario, okay. You're all fucked up with, like, what, G1 and G2 and
Gatorade. Yeah, no, not Gatorade. Yeah, it's G1 is the, and we call it the beginners. Like, I only have my beginners. But I don't know if that's even Canada-wide.
Did they have that shit when you were driving? Or could you, like, there was one point in Ontario where it was just, like, beginners, then driver's license.
Yeah. No, I had the, whatever it's called, the, like, G1, G2.
Ontario is a special place, everybody. Most places in the world have up to grade 12. In Ontario, they had up to grade 13. Most places, you get a beginner's and then your driver's license. In Ontario, you have to go through like 7 levels before you can drive normally. So,
yeah, common now. Like, I don't drive, so I haven't actually looked it up, but I think it is like kind of a graduated program in Saskatchewan as well.
Damn, Saskatchewan, before you can drive your pickup truck or your tractor?
Yeah. Exactly.
Cool. One or the other, you gotta choose.
What a burn.
Uh-huh. Take that.
What's it in Newfoundland? I don't, you have to like tape something to your back of your like your rear view?
Yeah, it says license and it's spelled with like 3 E's, like license. And that's how you know that you're okay to drive. Yeah. I have no idea. I don't know the rules anymore. Okay. I knew them when I got it. Like, I guess you get a one at 16, but there's all these rules you have to follow, and you have to be in with somebody like over 21 or something like that, and then eventually you get your driver's license.
And after making fun of Ontario, I will go back to making fun of Manitoba for a second. Yes. Back when I got my driver's license, you had to get a 2-part license. So most places, again, in the world, and in Manitoba today, your driver's license is a card. It's got your photo on it. It's got some information. You can scan it. In Manitoba, ooh, for the longest time, you had a laminated photo card and then a piece of paper with all your information. And it was in a specific, like, foldable plastic casing where you had to have both parts or else you did not have your full license. So, yeah.
So dumb.
Yeah. Dumb Manitoba. Dumb.
So. Bad Manitoba.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Liberty has to go in 15 minutes, and JT says that that's plenty of time.
Well, at least he's being honest.
Yeah, akin to Shane, perhaps.
Uh-huh.
And they argue about their different priorities, and Liberty leaves the car. And then cue the Peppy theme song. Is anyone else confused about the time frame a little bit here? Like, is this the morning before school?
Like when they're driving? Yeah, they were driving to school.
So JT gets up extra early in the morning, which we know is not his MO, to give Liberty a driving lesson, and then he wants to fuck in the car before school.
Yes. Is
this correct?
Yeah.
A little Volkswagen.
There you go.
Okay.
He'd probably be finished just climbing in the back with her and just rubbing against her. He's like, oh, okay, I'm done. Okay, we can go to school now.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but we didn't even take our clothes off. Oh, I didn't need to. Just I'm good. Like,
they should have called this episode, "We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off," because to have a good time. Oh, no. Yeah, JT doesn't need to.
I got to go home and change.
Uh-huh.
So Liberty and JT arrive at the video announcement auditions, which Toby seems to be helping with that as well. He's filming. And JT announces that he is going to audition, which is news to Liberty. And she does not like that idea because JT is irresponsible.
Because you need to be so responsible to do video announcements. I like how this was a secret.
There's like all kinds of things you have to do.
They arrived at school together, walked in the doors, then both went into the audition room, and then JT was like, surprise!
Liberty thinks he's irresponsible. JT wants to do it because of his interest in performing. So Liberty starts ragging on him about his choice of wanting to be an entertainer as a career, because this is what we need to worry about right now. And they argue, and JT leaves saying that he'll audition tomorrow instead.
Yikes. Is this whole storyline about her being super anal about everything, is this kind of new? Like, I know, obviously know she's always been like that.
My impression is that it's because she's pregnant, and we don't know that yet, but she's like, oh, you're going to be a dad if you just want to be an entertainer. I don't know.
Well, and Degrassi kind of has a history of when a girl becomes pregnant, she immediately becomes infuriated at the father.
So mad.
So this tracks for Degrassi, and like, you know, I've never been a pregnant teen, so I mean, maybe you do become infuriated, or, you know, maybe it's your hormones or whatever, but yeah, anyway. So we then go to Spinner in Miss Kwan's class. And he gets an assignment back, and he actually did well. So good job, Spinner.
We got a B-.
Yeah, that's shitty.
Well for Spinner.
Yeah.
So Darcy is sitting next to him, and she asks him for tips to navigate Miss Kwan's grading system. And Spinner tries to flirt with her, and she calls him out for being lame. And she asks him about why he failed last year, and he lies and says that his dog had leukemia.
What a stupid lie.
Yeah. I can't.
Well, she also calls him out again for obviously stupid lying.
I can't with this part. First of all, Miss Kwan comments loudly in front of the class, maybe he'll even pass this year, so... The tradition of Degrassi teachers continues. also, like, Darcy went to the school. She was in the school the last year. Right? Like, you would know that this kid got expelled. Right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. She was there.
She was there. Not only was she there, we're going to get into it later, because she's like, I remember all that stuff, as he describes it to her. Darcy was part of the bet that Toby and Rick had. She is Rick's only kiss.
That is true.
Oh, yeah.
And yet she's like, what happened last year? Like,
That's brutal.
Yeah. She's on the spirit squad with Manny. Like, come on. And Paige. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this doesn't fly for me, where, like, we get throughout this episode Darcy being clueless to everything that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there wasn't any comments on the Degrassipedia noting that, because it's pretty obvious now that you say it.
Yeah. It's just like, well, I mean, I guess the one thing for the one of the last episodes with Derek, you know, at least we didn't see him in the school the previous year. So maybe it's possible that when he sees Drake in the wheelchair, he's like, you're the guy that got shot. Like, but yeah, Darcy was there. So I'm not buying this at all. Anyways.
I don't know. I think the implication is that she's in a younger grade. So I don't know. She doesn't know all the involved parties or something like that. It would be huge news.
Talking
about it.
Well, do you remember before Spinner got expelled, he walked in the door of the school after he admitted shit to Drake, and every single person in the hallway looked at him like, you're a fucker. Like, this was something that everybody knew. Maybe Darcy was in Jesus group at the time. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably something to do with Jesus.
Yeah.
He always causes trouble.
I was too busy with church. I didn't pay attention. So she calls him out for obviously lying, but she still seems to think that it's funny. and they obviously are having a fun little flirtation with each other going on.
Great.
So then we go to the locker room, and Toby, of all people, is giving JT relationship advice, because this is his wheelhouse, for sure. And he points out that Liberty doesn't seem to respect JT, and says that JT needs to be the man. And JT says he has been the man, and they be fucking all summer.
Yep.
You can say that on Canadian TV. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Because Sneak paved the way, so mm-hmm. everybody can say fuck whenever they want.
Yeah.
And it never gets bleeped out.
Not at all.
That's why.
JT thinks Liberty is being so bitchy because she is stressed, and the only cure for that is a deep dicking.
Yep.
You can also say that on Canadian television.
Yeah, he said, let Dr. Mm-hmm. JT get up in that snatch. You can say that on Canadian television, too. So.
Snatch.
I will say, I'm glad they've made Toby sort of less pervy so far this season.
Like, he's not like, oh, that makes me so horny, JT. I have a boner. Want to look at it?
The little perv Toby from previous seasons would have been like, tell me more.
Yeah, it's true.
But this season, he doesn't see it. It makes him uncomfortable. He doesn't want to hear it.
Well, he covers his ears and sings O Canada, too.
Not as any normal teenager would do when their friend talks about sex.
Yeah.
Sing the anthem.
I'm just glad we didn't have to see him, like, waggle his eyebrows and say something creepy. So we then go to Jimmy rolling down the halls, and Spinner is following behind him, pleading to have another chance because it's a whole new year and he has changed. And Jimmy blows him off, probably because he is still in a wheelchair despite it being a new year.
Uh-huh.
You figure with the continuity, they just be like Jimmy's walking around and stuff with Degrassi's excellent continuity of things. Oh, shot. What do you mean? Shot like a, shoot a basketball? Oh, yeah. I'm the captain of the basketball team. I always have been.
Yeah.
Didn't you get shot last year? Yeah. And then they just move on.
Awkward silence.
Darcy's walking by and she notices this interaction, and he confesses to her that he was involved in the school shooting last year and he was expelled, but he minimizes his role.
And this is where Darcy says, I knew about the school shooting, I just didn't know you were involved.
She might as well look at the camera and say, me stupid too. Yes.
Spinner's sad because he has no friends, and Darcy invites him to hang out with some people after school in room 208.
Spinner says that he's persona non grata.
Classic.
And this is a weird invite, like not knowing the context of it. If you're Spinner and she's like, come hang out in room 208 after school, I would ask some questions right away. Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's Darcy's not... hot, so he doesn't.
Yeah. He's like, is that the fuck room? Because, okay.
All Canadian high schools have a fuck room.
Yeah, by the way, everybody. Some schools call it the snatcheteria.
yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. But, yeah, yeah.
So Snake is complimenting Liberty on the good work she's doing as school president as she's working in the computer lab. And JT arrives, Snake leaves, and Liberty looks stressed. And JT tries to cheer her up with a few cute jokes and invites her out for a fun night with friends. And she starts to say that she's too busy, but then she kind of sees that JT seems to be trying really hard to please her, so she softens and agrees.
And she's busy. One of the things that she is busy with is she's working on the budget. Like... students, budgetary responsibilities.
Uh-huh. Spinner arrives at the friend hangout in room 208, and he sees a bunch of people sitting in a creepy circle. And he's like, what's going on? And Darcy gets up and introduces him to the group and leads him to a chair next to her. And we learn that this is Friendship Club.
Ugh.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And what is the first rule of Friendship Club?
Don't join. It's stupid.
The first rule of Friendship Club, and this is, of course, taken from Fight Club, where no one talks about Fight Club, but the first rule of Friendship Club is always talk about Friendship Club, which is funny to me because up until this point in all of Degrassi, no one has mentioned Friendship Club.
Yes, always talk about Friendship Club. Spread the word.
Mm-hmm.
So Darcy then reaches for Spinner's hand, and he's like, huh? Instant boner.
Oh, absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah. And then this other girl, whose name is Kim, by the way, grabs his other hand, and then he's like,
threesome club.
Double boner. Yeah, threesome club.
Full climax. And... Glad I brought my gym clothes. I had to put on my jogging pants.
But they all start to say the Lord's Prayer, and we realize that Friendship Club is actually Religion Club.
Holy Jesus Rona.
Club. You're right, Courtney. Jesus Christ indeed.
Did you guys have like a religion club at your, like a Christian club at your high school?
No idea.
Yeah, I have no idea either. Probably we did.
We had a fuck room. But I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about Jesus Club. I think there might have. I have no idea.
We did not.
We had school. I had, because I went through like just regular public Catholic school. I was taught by nuns until about grade 5 or so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did they beat you with the ruler?
No, but I saw that before. They pulled this guy out of the line. Because he was a bit of an ass, but pulled him out and like slaps on the hand, and you go, ugh. But I was good. I was such a good boy.
Did you have a rogue nun that came in out of nowhere and made you join a choir?
Uh-huh.
And you turned out to be a really good singer?
No. Oh, but there was one who you'd get chewed out if you didn't know how to open a book or flip the pages. Our librarian was pretty... She would sit us down and, like, I remember we did a library test, like, name the parts of a book and how to open a book. And, like, no, licking your finger and touching a page, like, that was, you might as well be, like, cursing out Jesus if you did that.
Was this, like, grade 12 or grade 2?
No, this was, like, grade 4, maybe.
What?
Here's how to open a book? Ooh.
Like, the spine, and she'd... show us the spine of the book, and you never push open a book. You never dog air a book. I still remember this very specifically. And if I see somebody dog airing a book, I'm like, you're going to hell. All the nuns were very, very old women. And yeah, so I remember that. And they lived in the convent, actually connected to the school.
God,
a lot of
awful.
Them smoked cigarettes in private.
Amazing.
But yeah, we were the only joy them. They had.
Uh-huh.
Oh, absolutely. If I was a nun, I'd be eating them. Smokies. Like, what else are you going to do?
All right.
Yep.
So Friendship Club eats cigarettes.
Cannon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Paige is working at the movie theater, and JT and Liberty arrive. And they order an extreme corn bucket with double topping and a root beer tub.
Ew.
And then Manny, Emma, and Toby arrive saying that the bus took forever. And Liberty and JT are saying it's so great that JT has a car. And I'm like, you couldn't have picked up your fucking friend?
Just such an asshole. Yeah. Then not only do they not pick up their friends, but then they're like, ah, it's a good thing we drive and you don't. Must suck to be poor.
So JT then takes Toby aside from the group for literally no reason and starts using driving euphemisms to explain that he fucked Liberty earlier and she really knows how to handle his dick.
Pretty much.
Great.
Yeah.
though charming. And Toby, who has no chill, loudly says, "Enough about you and Liberty's sex life." Which obviously Toby. Liberty overhears, and she is furious. And the cokes are on you, Mr. Jerry Jeremiah.
You're wrong, JT. The cokes are on your dick. She pours it down his pants.
Here's some coke and, for your cock.
Yeah. And she dumps her cold drink down his pants, and she storms off.
And Paige tells nope. JT that he still has to pay for it.
I also enjoyed that Paige was like, "That'll be $400.
Yeah, that made me laugh, too.
It does feel mm-hmm. that way, doesn't it? And what is presumably the next morning, JT drives up to Liberty while she's walking to school, and he offers her a ride. Liberty
a ride. Accepts wink, wink. Uh-huh.
Okay, JT.
Another euphemism. as they're driving, he apologizes, but Liberty is obviously still angry, and they argue again, and JT thinks Liberty is too controlling, and Liberty thinks JT is immature. JT wants to be respected and wants them to make decisions together. And Liberty says they did when they decided to use a king-size condom that slipped off. And she tells JT that she is pregnant.
I want to see that scene, though, where they're like, which condom should we use? How about the king-size one? What are the pros and cons? You know?
there's been discussion in the past as to whether JT has a tiny dick. So,
though there hasn't been discussion. We've seen. They're yes. like, they're like, well, I wanted to use the Craig, but I was too small for it, apparently.
I borrowed this condom from Craig.
It's five condoms melded together to make one super condom. It's like when you buy five Transformers and then they join together to form a Mega Transformer. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get down to business.
JT is shocked and he crashes into the bus shelter outside of Degrassi. And the bus shelter is destroyed.
Uh-huh.
We hardly knew ye, bus shelter.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. And we very obviously cut to commercial. This is a decent accident. They did a good job. Like this was a good stunt. There's glass everywhere, mangled metal.
Oh, they smashed the shit yeah. out of it. I wish they'd gotten more mileage out of that smash. Like, you know, they should have. That was one where they should have had like two replays.
In the aftermath of the accident, Miss Hatzilakis runs up and asks if they're okay. Liberty says they're fine. She lies and says JT swerved to avoid a dog, and that is why they crashed. And they go inside, the police arrive, and the police are talking to JT and Liberty in the hallway, and everyone in their computer lab is, of course, rubbernecking through the glass walls.
Well, why are the cops are speaking with them in the hallway, in the foyer of the school, like, where everyone can see. Like, there's the rooms, there's the fuck room, you could use any room in the school to have this conversation. The principal's office, but no, do it in the hall, distract all the kids.
The fuck room is probably not occupied, but even if it is, like, that's some people's kink, so, you know, whatever.
And then even better, after everybody is staring at them in the hallway, clearly seeing what's going on, JT and Liberty come into class, and Snake's like, "Nice of you to join us." It's like, you know what they were doing.
Snake, always so much empathy. Yes, Liberty and JT enter the class, and they start having a whispered conversation about the revelation that she's pregnant. She says that she's known for 3 months now. JT alludes to getting an abortion, but Liberty is not on board. We find out that Liberty has not taken a pregnancy test, but there are many signs.
Who tells their boyfriend that they're pregnant without even actually knowing? I guess a lot of people.
I was also thinking that this seems very unlike Liberty. You know, she's kind of one of those people that crosses all the T's and dots all the I's. Like, she's sort of...
Yeah, like, she would have taken, like, 15 pregnancy tests. The first
thing to do is take a pregnancy test. But, like, I don't know. People can be weird about using avoidance as a coping mechanism. maybe. Like, maybe she just doesn't, she didn't take one because she would have to accept it if she did.
I also feel like, so there seems to be two liberties over the course of the Degrassi series. Because in the first, like, four seasons, even when she's flirting with guys, she's essentially, like, awkward and weird and doesn't know how to behave properly in front of people. And then all of a sudden, starting in season five, it's like the robot chip got removed and she's human again. And now she's, you know, emotional and, you know, she has very strong feelings and she's not awkward, right? Like, it's awkward to watch them fight, but she doesn't act weird anymore. Like, she's actually acting in a way where I'm like, okay, like, I could see someone acting like that. Mm-hmm. And this goes on for, like, the rest of the series. It's like there's a totally different liberty. Maybe she just grew up. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like, weird kids can grow up to be less weird.
No, weird. If you're a weird kid, you'll always be weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, Weird Al.
Shining example.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Nothing wrong with Weird Al being weird.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it works. Yeah. Maybe JT fucked the weird out of her. I don't know, in the summer.
I don't think that's possible.
So we go to Spinner, who's sitting down in the calf, and Darcy comes up and asks if she can sit down, and she questions him why he split so quickly from the club last night. And he says it's because it was Christian.
Uh-huh. That was no fuck room, Darcy. You tricked me.
But Darcy says, so what? It's still fun. And Spinner says he's not into the whole, essentially into the whole kumbaya vibe. And Darcy explains that she's into lots of fun things and there's more to her than just being Christian. And Spinner asked her out for coffee that night at one of the only two restaurants in the greater Toronto area that exists, The Dot. And she accepts.
Here are the things that she's into. Laser tag, horror movies, fart jokes, and UFC.
That was a list that she really thought about. What are some fun, quote, and I'm sure she wrote on her list, quote, fun things, these things. Anybody who says, I'm into fart jokes, no, that's not their sense of humor. Anybody who says that, no, definitely
not. I'm not like other girls.
She also says that she's not in a cult, and then I wrote in brackets, stay tuned, everyone.
Oh,
we'll see what happens with Friendship Club over the coming seasons.
Oh, wow,
Friendship
really?
Cult. It turns into Nexium. Spoiler alert. Just kidding.
I mean, I don't know. You know what I am going to say it, damn it. If you're in a religious group in school, cult. Like... Sorry.
Yeah, totally.
It's culty. Sorry. It just is.
Religion in general is.
Yeah. But friendship, Alan.
Religion is just another word for cult.
It is.
And if it's, I have the same reaction to somebody being in Friendship Club as if somebody would approach me and said, hey, do you want to join Homework Club? And I'd be like, what the fuck? No, I don't want to join Homework Club.
Yeah.
It's weird. What, you have homework? No, extra. Extra homework. What? No.
We make it up ourselves.
Get away. Yeah.
We celebrate homework.
Oh, jeez. What? Get away from me.
Okay, who was in the dorkiest club in high school?
Well, I mean, I was in band. Is that dorky?
Yeah, I was in band, too. Yeah.
A lot of people find organized religion very rewarding.
Well.
It's not personally a part of my life, but I'm not going to yuck someone else's yum.
I am.
Can I do it for you? Yuck, yuck, yuck. Take that.
So JT is at the pharmacy to buy a pregnancy test. Prominently featured music is Love in the Western World by Chris Koster. And he's sort of having these, you know, nightmare. He's seeing the words family planning above his head. He's coming face to face with babies, like, et cetera, et cetera.
Literally face to face.
Daddy.
I mean, it's
the baby doesn't say that.
It's the old trope of a kid buying sex items and seeing babies around there. We've seen this before in Degrassi.
Yeah, yes. Like five times.
Yeah.
Oh, he brings up the pregnancy test to the cashier, and the cashier is particularly judgy.
Yeah, right?
She gives him the full up and down side eye.
Mm-hmm.
And also at the till, there is a help wanted sign.
I judge the man and his baby more than I judge JT. Like, that baby's like 6 months and you're already buying another pregnancy test?
Yeah, get offered, dude. I was imagining
he was just really dumb and was just like... they'd already had the baby.
He's like, was she pregnant?
So we're then at Liberty's house, and she's in the bathroom, presumably taking the pregnancy test. And JT is waiting outside the door, and Liberty's little brother Danny comes up, and he's kidding around, saying Liberty takes forever in the bathroom.
I had to rewind this a few times. Did anyone catch what he said?
No, same here.
Because
he suggested that she was bunged up.
That's what I thought he said. Must be all bunged up. Which, now that there's two of us that agree with that, that's canon. And it's amazing.
Yes. Well, so he's like, maybe she's constipated, basically.
Yeah.
And this annoys JT. He calls Danny an ignorant little puke. And tells him to get lost. Liberty comes out of the bathroom and confirms that the test is positive.
At least the pregnancy test matches like the era of the show this time, not like the original Degrassi when the twins took a fucking pregnancy test from like the 60s.
Chemistry final that they had to go through. Uh-huh.
Like, where's the Bunsen burner part of this test? How does this work?
Yes, this one was just a stick that you pee on, basically.
Also, pregnancy tests are really expensive, so I guess it makes sense because it's Degrassi and they can afford them, but...
Not at Dollarama, they aren't.
Yeah, you missed our intro.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. About
cheap pregnancy tests.
Yeah.
And somebody getting dragged because they made fun of Dollarama pregnancy tests.
Yeah.
Internet wins again. I don't know.
I actually didn't realize the pregnancy tests were particularly expensive because I've never taken one. When you say they're expensive, what are we like? Are we talking like...
Like 20-something bucks for one.
Okay.
$4,000.
Yeah.
I was just like, in my head, I was thinking like 15 or 20 bucks when you said they're expensive. And then I realized I had no idea. I'm like, maybe they're 50 bucks, like Crest White strips or something. I don't know.
If you can't afford this test, you shouldn't have a baby.
Yeah, well, the problem is if you're one of the ladies going out with me in high school, those tests add up, you know?
Ladies.
You're taking them every week, so.
I'm saying.
Because we had a room.
Yep.
It was called the fuck room. In my school, it was called La Salle du Fuck.
Avec sauce.
Yeah. In the cafeteria, we had frites avec sauce, but in the fuck room, we had dick avec puss.
I hope the cafeteria lady wasn't there.
You never know.
Serving it up.
Uh-huh.
Poppy Joe's.
So the next day at school, we're back at video announcement auditions, and Toby tells JT and Liberty that Heather Sinclair just auditioned with a giant booger hanging from her nose, and it is now JT's turn to audition, and he bombs it. He's like, hey, in the news, a baby, I mean, a pregnancy, I mean, knocked up, I mean, and then... Dick rushes out of the room.
I mean, fuck Liberty and she got pregnant. I mean, no, Drake got shot last year. That's, sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. He has to say the word birth, knocked out, but he says knocked up. Yeah, it's, yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't start pointing in two different directions and crossing his eyes and going, oh, but, what? You know, it was... Baby crazy. Something like that.
Did anybody notice JT's shirt in this scene?
Okay, is this the... yes, I wrote it down.
It's the Buzzcocks shirt. which the Buzzcocks are like a classic punk band.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
it's not a Buzzcocks the band shirt. It's the Buzzcocks intramural team.
I know. I was like, what?
And it has a little picture of a rooster on it. I was like, what is going on?
Uh-huh. I was curious if anybody had any insight because I was stumped.
I don't know. I'm just like, did that get specially made for the show? Can you get one of those? Because it's pretty funky.
He's like, we're playing the Sex Pistols tonight in intramurals.
Exactly.
Or it's like one of those shirts that you get off like Wish from China and it's like a Nirvana shirt, but it's Hanson.
My favorite.
Uh-huh.
He rushes out of the room. Liberty follows him and they argue again about her being too controlling, and Liberty blows him off, and she wants to handle everything herself.
Mm-hmm.
Actually blows him off, doesn't blow him
yeah.
off.
I'm always uncomfortable around that phrase. Please choose your words wisely.
I did a presentation once in grade 13 in this stupid province, and it was about fire extinguishers. And I was trying to explain how to use it. And I used the term jerk it off in front of my whole class. And I was mortified.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Never live it down.
Good job.
Did they lose it?
Yes. Did they?
Yes.
Everybody lost it.
So JT goes to Toby's house, and Toby is playing with a remote-controlled car. And JT reveals to Toby that Liberty is pregnant. And Toby crashes the car.
I think the idea with this car, too, is it's supposed to be a callback to, like, when we were younger and innocent. Because they're like, oh, we had to save our money to buy that car together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a goodbye to your childhood situation.
Even though Toby, I guess, is spending his evening sitting in front of his place playing with it. So,
you know. Well, and, you know, Liberty's pregnancy has the power to crash cars, of course.
Amazing.
Yes.
Yep. And Toby starts making suggestions to try to help. He suggests support groups, Miss Sauvé, because she's so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
JT's parents, but JT says the bigger problem is Liberty herself. And JT is unhappy with how she has been treating him. Toby suggests talking to her, but JT says it hasn't worked and he does not know what to do. And it's sad.
It's interesting that they don't kind of tie the storylines together where he's like, is that why you're acting like this? Because you're pregnant? But instead they just break up.
Yeah. Oh, spoiler.
Oh, sorry. I mean.
Do they?
They have twins.
Yeah. And they're happy. It's great.
They're super happy.
They named them Heather and Erica.
Circle of life.
They only wear black and white.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Always.
Mm-hmm. So Spinner is waiting at the dot for Darcy. Carry On by Universal Honey is playing in the background. And Darcy arrives and sits down. And Darcy has made Spinner a mixed CD. And I have to say, I kind of miss mixed CDs.
Did you note who was on the mixed CD?
I can't remember what he said. Arcade Fire was one of them.
Yes. Green Day.
Missy E.
And Missy E, who...
E.
Is that what people called Missy Elliott?
I've never called her Missy E.
Yeah.
Maybe they could... Maybe her people refused.
They called them up and they're like, we're going to sue the fuck out of Degrassi if you use her full name.
If you even mention her.
Yeah.
Spinner compliments her on the song she put on there as they're unexpected. And
yeah.
She asks him to get super unexpected. I guess he was expecting all Christian rock.
Uh huh. Yeah. Or it's like
big shiny tunes or something.
It's just a fucking Creed CD.
Yes.
Can you take me higher? To a place where I'm from.
Creed? Uh-huh. Amy Grant? Jars of Clay? P.O.D.? I'm seeing a theme here, Darcy. Uh-huh.
So she asks him to tell her something unexpected about him. And we learn that Spinner was a little Mr. Handsome pageant winner when he was a little boy.
Ew.
Gross.
And not a chance.
Yeah.
You fugly.
Yeah. No way he was
Courtney's
a cute kid.
Not a fan.
And they seem to be having a good time together. But then Jimmy wheels up and cock blocks Spinner by telling Darcy that he's dangerous and a liar.
He's like, ooh. He tends to get people shot.
Yeah.
Good job, Drake.
That made me laugh.
Yeah, buddy.
Ironically, all the commercials in my YouTube like stream of this were all Drake songs. So I kept like doing a double take and be like, oh, they're starting to play Drake's music in the season. But they aren't.
At school the next day, JT approaches Liberty and asks again if he can do the morning announcements. And Liberty does not want to talk about it. And they start to argue again. And JT says Liberty used to like his jokes. And Liberty says she can't trust him to deal with something serious like this. And JT has had enough. And he breaks up with Liberty.
And she's like, what? And it's like, you guys have been fighting this whole episode.
Single scene they've been in, they have heart. I like my notes are just full of they start to argue.
Yeah, they fight. They're miserable. She's particularly shitty to him. Like, she's obviously in rougher shape right now, but right, like he's kind of like, oh, I want to try. I want to help. I want to do something. And she's like, you're irresponsible. You want to be an entertainer. You suck. And it's like, and then he's like, okay, well, we should break up. And she's like, what do you mean? Like, come on.
What the devil?
Well, you know, for a teenage boy, I would say that JT is, you know, suitably concerned and trying.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so much like a teenage boy can do.
He's not Shane.
But to his credit.
No, he's not.
Though, though it doesn't end up very well for JT either. So.
Oh.
That's one of the few references I get.
Uh-huh.
So apparently, last night at the dot after the whole Jimmy thing happened, both Spinner and Darcy just vaporized into thin air into their beds because they haven't talked about what happened before this moment. Uh-huh. Darcy approaches Spinner in front of the school and asks him why he didn't tell her the whole story. So, I'm not sure how she now knows the whole story.
Yeah, right?
Like, unless she knew it the whole time and was just pretending she didn't know to see if he would tell her or do a nasty buddy. Like,
so, if we're led to believe that Darcy didn't know anything about the story whatsoever, as they're trying to sell to us this episode... And if we're led to believe that they've had no conversation since what Drake said yesterday, then you would think that she thought that Spinner shot Drake. Right?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that be her conclusion? But you're totally right, though, when she comes in and she's like, why didn't you tell me everything? It's like, how do you know now?
Yeah, I don't know. Show got a show, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But, Spinner says that Jimmy was his best friend, and basically he cut his legs off, and he doesn't like to broadcast that around. And Darcy is sympathetic. She says it wasn't Spinner who shot him. Darcy starts talking about forgiveness, and she tells Spinner that she likes him.
She says, it sounds like you're in your own prison, Spinner. Can I take you higher?
And he said, you said urine.
And then she,
you know, pee.
And then she kisses him, and he goes, "Ah, feel so alive for the very first time."
Excellent, excellent, yeah. Excellent.
And Spinner gives Darcy a mix CD.
Yes.
So next, JT approaches Liberty in the halls, and he tells her that he got a job at the drugstore so that he can help with bills and get a discount on diapers, which is kind of genius, honestly.
Uh-huh.
He says he wants to help. He isn't going to abandon her. And they agree that they're not back together, but she now seems to concede that she needs his help, even though needing help is unfamiliar to her.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all. That's what happened.
There's things. So, there's quite a few
not
things.
Not a ton of resolution for JT and Liberty at this point, but
which I appreciate. I like that's a Degrassi thing, right? You don't like solve all of the problems in one little episode.
Yeah, and we go through like this is not the end of the storyline. They'll follow through on this, and I don't think it's all that bad. And it didn't end with them being like, we're back together and everything is solved. It's like sometimes things can just be shitty. And I also like that we didn't play around through a lot of the episode with the is she or is she not pregnant. It's like, she is. Now let's deal with it. So the A plot, I'm happy giving a thumbs up to it. I also I like the, like, it a lot of their problems we've complained before come out of nowhere, but they've purposefully not been focusing on either of them throughout the season yet. So at least I can believe that over the summer and over the last like few weeks, things have been going badly.
Things have been deteriorating since the summer.
Yeah, it's not like they were in the last episode being like, we love to fuck and we hate condoms and everything's cool. Like
I would have watched that episode.
Yeah. So no, I give that part a thumbs up. I think it's one of the better things they've done so far this season.
I also appreciate that the B plot, like, this is a little bit of a heavier episode kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are two characters who are very much in distress, right? But I do appreciate that the B plot wasn't just like hijinks to lighten the mood kind of thing, which is kind of a previous MO for heavier episodes. Like, I appreciated that at least, like, the B-plot had some substance to it.
The only thing I would change about the B-plot is I wish it could have just been, like, Darcy saying, you know, I know what happened last year, but it's kind of impressive that you came back to school and that you're trying, and I think you're kind of nice. And I'm sorry that things are shitty. You should come to Friendship Club. And if they just started like that, as opposed to her being clueless, I think that it would have been great too.
Yeah, that, like, there's no reason for her to not have known.
Yeah.
Like, because of her, you know, interest in Christianity and forgiveness and stuff like that, I think it tracks that even if she had known, she would be okay making friends with Spinner.
Yeah, that's kind of what confused me. Like, that's a good idea for the storyline, right? Is that, like, Spinner has no friends, so, you know, he's got to become friends with all these Christian forgiveness types. But then they bungled it all up with, like, pretending she didn't know about what he did. It was weird.
Maybe they could have been talking in class and Spinner could have been like, well, now that I don't have any real friends, I have to have imaginary ones. And Darcy's like, well, speaking of that, how about Jesus?
Huh? I do interesting that.
Where is he? All around us. But where? All around us.
Even in the fuck
where
room?
Is he?
Yes, especially
even
there.
Even in the fuck room. Especially there. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Hold on, that's Santa Claus.
I'm going to hell for this episode.
Sorry. Yeah, you might not have a girlfriend after this one airs.
Sorry.
Interesting that Darcy, a few episodes ago, or last season, I guess it was, purposefully broke Paige's leg. Not catching her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and laughed about
it. She did say that she only joined Friendship Club, like, 2 months ago or something, so maybe, like, that was the catalyst. She felt so guilty that she decided to turn her life over to better ways.
Ooh.
I wish that maybe was true. Yeah. But we get a glimpse. Yeah. We get enough of a glimpse into her home life later that it's clearly been before that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, a Degrassi character has a troubled home life, you say?
What?
Yeah. I didn't hate this episode. I thought that the actors did a really good job. I felt like JT and Liberty care for each other, but they're in a bad spot, you know?
Yeah, teenage pregnancy will do that to you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And, you know, Darcy's appealing, even though her religious lifestyle might not be appealing to some, but she's an appealing person, it seems. Like, I liked this episode.
Me besides... too.
Me as well. Great. What a show. Laugh riot the whole time.
That's about it. Unless anyone has anything else, closing thoughts?
I skimmed the comments on the Degrassipedia. A lot of people are like, this is my favorite episode. I could watch it over and over again. So
go ahead.
Yeah. We're not alone.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I don't know if I could watch. I mean, I liked it, but I don't think I'd watch it again and again.
No, I'll never watch this show again. I'll never watch the episode ever
again. Burn in hell episode.
Well,
tell him Courtney sent you.
what do we have coming up next week?
Oh, a treat.
The episode Weddings, Parties, Anything. Is that what it's called? Parties, Weddings, Anything? Something like that. Some kind of thing. Not even the name of the song. It's something else. But you'll have to wait until next week to find out what it's named after.
Lucky.
Go on the internet.
Yeah, that's about it, I think. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And thanks for my pals for being here with me. Again, I'm Arlo. You can follow me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT. Alan?
Slip of Five Eyes or Slip. And then the podcast can be found on Instagram at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast, on Twitter at Narbos Podcast, narbosandbroomheads at gmail.com. We're still on TikTok, though I haven't posted anything in a couple of weeks. But there'll be something there at some point in time. And as soon as you shut this episode off, go listen to Pedal to the Metal by Kazzer. Put the pedal to the metal and I'm off. I never get lost. All right. Over to Ted.
Hey, it's Ted. Say Wathry on the Instagram machine. And Courtney, finally, the lovely, the late, but great Courtney.
Yeah, that's me. Instagram, Courtney.1293. Maybe avoid it until after June 2nd, because I'll be posting all Fuck Doug Ford stuff. So,
oh, boy.
Don't follow me till after June 2nd, please. Thank you so much.
There's an election that's going to happen between this taping and the next one. And I don't think it's going to end well for Courtney.
It is not going to end well. So, yeah. Oh, anyways,
we got someone else who wants to say bye.
Is it Jesus?
Kazzer? Whoa!
Whoa, I'm driving. I'm doing driver's ed, everyone. Whoa! Anyways.
Oh, it is very Limp Bizkit-y.
Yeah.
A hidden gem.
Alan rolls out the string of condoms. We're like, no, thank you. Not tonight. We have a headache.
All right, everybody. We will catch you next time.
Peace.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Well, I said I'm George and my love. I was meant to do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house. Maybe I would. I would walk around the cafe, cut. Everyone thinks I'm so good. I went crazy, had to school. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh.